You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
I was online, and there was this guy, he said to me, he said, so-and-so, this guy called himself Lucifer. He had an Alphas Don't brand, but he decided he gonna brand. And he branded 666 on his arm. Called himself Lucifer. And everybody said, oh, you a preacher, huh? You a preacher. He said, oh, he don't like no preachers. He coming up here. And that night I remember he came in. I'm online and he came up to me. He said, where that preacher? Where's that preacher in here? Somebody said, he right there. He came over to me, got in my face and started saying, I said, Brakara basata, shitira da mandara. He said, what you say? I said, kira da masatara da bakandara ba, shitira da baka, I take authority over you. He said, what you say? I said, kira da basata. He just backed up on me, back up from me, went on about his business. You got to know no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Somebody said, I got power. Y'all remember the Ghostbusters? Look, somebody say, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. You operate in a new level of power. Secondly, when you catch this, after Jesus was resurrected, you live a whole new life. Jesus went into rooms that folks didn't invite him in. John 20 and 26, it says, after 8 days, again his disciples were within. He came in one time before. This time he came in specific on assignment to minister to Thomas. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas this time was with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Y'all know he had to say peace. I mean, all of a sudden, y'all just sitting there having your resurrection Easter dinner today, and all of a sudden, some man just comes stand in the room. You hope he gonna say peace. Jesus just came into the room. I want you to know, because you've been resurrected with Jesus, you live a whole new life, you can go places that folks thought you couldn't go. Somebody need to get revelation here. You can go to heights that folks thought you couldn't go to. You can be quiet. You can go in rooms that other folks thought you had to have such and such degree to get in. Because God will open doors that no man can shut. He will shut doors no man can open. He'll put one down. He'll put another up. Hallelujah. I was talking to someone this week who came, called me and shared testimony with me. They said, I don't know how. I don't know what happened. All I know is that they called me and said, now is yours. Glory to God. I don't know what happened. God moved this one around, moved that one around. He'll put one down. He'll raise another one up. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east, from the west, or from the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. And when God gets ready to put you in a room, nobody can keep you out. I'm prophesying over people this morning. God's getting ready to open up new doors for you. God's getting ready to put you in a room that you thought you were locked out of. God getting ready to put you in a space that they thought you weren't qualified for, because you operated a whole new life. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Look at somebody, say, I'm getting ready to go into a new room. Get ready to go into a new room. Somebody need to receive that. You get ready to go into a new room. You get ready to go into a new room. You get ready to go into a new room. You get ready to go into a new room. You get ready to go into a new room. They're not going to be able to keep you out. They may not like that you're there, but God will prepare a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. I sent a text to one of my sons this week. I said, the Lord had me to, I got ready to send it to the whole family chat. But I said, I want to send it directly to him first. And I said, get ready, because the Lord just told me, new opportunity getting ready to open up for you. And don't be afraid to go in it, because it's going to happen so fast. God can do something so fast, it'll make your head swim. It'll make your head swim. Jesus just came into the room, and God can just put you in a room that didn't look like you qualified for. Years ago, remember 100 years ago, there was this pastor, had to be a pastor in this city. There was a pastor, he said to me, he said, I just got back from a meeting with Brother Copeland, pastors, but you got to be invited. I said, okay. And he would say, he said, just got back from meeting with Brother Copeland. You got to be invited. I said, okay. I didn't ask to go. We were vacationing down in Texas. Had never been to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. It was an instrumental time because we were buying this land and getting ready to do something. And we went there and somebody gave us a personal tour of the campus. Explained to us how Kenneth Copeland got that campus. Because he wouldn't believe in debt, so he leased it. He leased it and said, I'll just pay your rent until we have money to buy it. And after he signed the lease for all that property where his ministry is, the man said, there's this rock quarry here. People have been asking me for years to dig in there and get rocks out of it. But I didn't want to do it. He said, if you want to do something with that, you can do it. He leased the land, then called those folks and let them start getting the rock. The rock was more than enough to buy the land. Then they found natural gas on the land. God's opened the door. And I'll never forget, the brother, I don't even know if brother's supposed to do that. Because y'all ain't supposed to do this. I want to let you know. My folks, y'all ain't supposed to do this. But this brother took me for a personal tour of Kenneth Copeland's personal office. Showed me his whole office. He said, sit behind the desk. I said, I ain't supposed to do that. I sat in the man of God's desk. Then he took me to his personal bathroom. I sat on the potty. Lord, my bun's been anointed ever since. While I was there, I wrote out a significant check to him and left it in his desk. Didn't know me, hadn't met him. Next thing I know, I get in this invitation to this meeting. And I'm down and this pastor says, Bailey? Is that you? Was it Cletus? Is that you? It's me in living color. He said, well, how you get? I said, I was invited. Watch this. A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Some of you got seed in the ground that's going to open up the doors in this season. Your gift is going to make room for you. Oh, let me finish this. So, because you can go out of rooms just like Jesus did, a whole new life. You can overcome limits. You can overcome barriers. Thirdly, because you live a whole new life because of resurrection, you can also cause others to be resurrected. Matthew 27, 52 and 53, a lot of people don't know this. Very few people preach it because I think folks don't believe it. It's in the Word. The details that are there are important. Matthew 27, 52 and 53, it says, when Jesus was resurrected, verse 52 says, the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is Thriller. That's where Michael Jackson got it from. The Bible says the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. So Jesus became the firstborn of many brothers and went into the holy city, appeared unto many. Can y'all picture this? When Jesus got up, folks who have been dead for years got up also, knocked on the door and said, I'm back. Folks said, in short, Because we are buried with Jesus in baptism and raised with him in resurrection, we can live a whole new life. So watch this. When you get up, there's many of you in this room. You come from, some of y'all came from families like mine. Sometimes I hate to say this here because I got one living sibling and she's always watching. But I got to tell the truth. Well, she ain't going to tell it. I have to tell. We came from a jacked up family. Okay? Some of y'all, you just won't tell. You don't want to embarrass your people. I get it. But I came from a jacked up family. Okay? I mean, jacked up in so many ways. Okay? Marriages broke up. Everybody shacking up, living with somebody. Now second and third generations, all these babies and no men around. And all this, and drugs and alcohol. I found a sister dead when I was 14. I was 14, she was 21. I found her dead. Four or five years later, my next sister, who was closer to me, two years older than me, she died. Now we understand, we found out later, in 1979 when she died, nobody was talking about HIV, nobody knew what it was. Found out she had HIV from being an intravenous drug user. We didn't know that. Had another brother who was a drug addict most of his life. And he lived far longer than I even thought he would live. I got a nephew. I forgot about this. Unfortunately, I had a nephew who was shot in the head, found in the back of somebody's trunk. And came out of debaucherous situations, grazed in the projects of Jersey City, New Jersey. And I was the only one, the youngest of five kids who got saved. One of my nieces later on asked me years ago, she said, Uncle Herb, why is your life so much different than everybody else in the family? And on the surface, it can look like, well, because I went to college. I'm the first one to graduate from high school. And the rest of them would drop out of high school, not to even mention go to college. But watch it, I didn't finish high school. My life didn't turn out the way it did because I finished high school and went to college. I finished high school and went to college because I got saved. Oh, you found it. All the rest of them, by the time they were in high school, their lives were already being derailed with drugs and alcohol and babies. But at a young age, I said yes to Jesus, and it gave me a whole new life than the life of my family members. And now, and I don't say this boasting, but I recognize this is the Lord's doing. And now, because I got saved and I got born again, God helped me to get education. Now I got four college educated children who went to undergraduate debt free. Three black men, young men with graduate degrees, a pastor, a D1 coach, an attorney and councilman at large. My daughter doing her thing and dominating there in corporate America in New York. Why? Because God gave me a whole new life. And there are people in here today that God has said, if you would just say yes to me, I'll change your life, I'll change your children's life, I'll change your grandchildren's life, but you got to say yes to me. It's more than just your life on the line. God wants to give you a whole new life. Let me wrap this up. Paul could write to the Romans about this because he knew that he was one way before he met Jesus, but then Jesus changed him and gave him a whole new life. He said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 9 and 10, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I'm the one who I persecuted the church. He said, but by the grace of God, I am that I am. And his grace that he put on me was not in vain. He said, I labored with that grace. When God puts his grace on you, make your life better. When God puts his grace on you, go to another level. When God puts his grace on you, accomplish things nobody else can accomplish. When God puts his grace on you, do something folks said you couldn't do. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise. He said, by the grace of God, I am that I am. And I labor with that grace. He said in 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, he said, I thank God, because my life was one way before I met Jesus. But 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16, he says, I thank Christ Jesus, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry. It's a blessing to be in ministry. I know you got a job, but it's a blessing to be in ministry. I know you got other things to do, and it ain't the only thing you do is come to church, but it's a blessing to be in ministry. He said, he blessed me, put me in ministry. He said, formerly, before I got saved, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was an insolent man, meaning nobody could tell me anything, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. Some of you are living the way you're living because you don't know any better, but now you are learning better today. You're learning God has more for you. Somebody say, God has more for you. He said, and the grace that God put on me was abundant with faith and love. He said, this is faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He said, for this reason I obtained God's mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all the long suffering as a pattern. God used me as a pattern to show what he could do in somebody else's life. Paul said, if Jesus could save me and use me, he sure could save you and use you. If Jesus could pick me up, he can pick you up. If Jesus can turn me around, he can turn you around. If Jesus can change my mind, he can change your mind. Jesus died and rose again so we can live a whole new life. Let me end with this. We all know it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things became new. Jesus was such a significant figure in history that time was divided between before Christ and after Christ. Your life should be divided between before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ, this is how I live. After Christ, this is how I live. Before Christ, this is how I thought. But after Christ, this is how I think. Before Christ, my finances were tore up. But after Christ, he's increasing me more and more. Finally, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 really shows us the power of a whole new life. I need you to catch this, because people today want you to think that you have to identify with your temptation, that you claim whatever's in your flesh. Say it with me. Say, I am not my temptation. I don't care what that temptation is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or the same sex, you are not your temptation. Don't identify with your temptation. You identify with Christ. I am a new creation. I am a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, catch this as I close this today. He said, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous cannot come into the kingdom of God. You got to be made righteous. He said, don't you be deceived. He said, don't let these folks teach you wrong. Don't let your flesh and what you want cause you not to bring your life up to the level of God's word, and always trying to bring God's word down to the level of your life. There's a whole lot of stuff in the word I wish wasn't there. I wish it wasn't in there. I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'd rather beat my enemies. Come on, can anybody else be real? I'd rather shoot my enemies, but I don't have a prison ministry. So you gotta think long and think wide. But I'd rather hold grudges and remind them every time I see you, I'll never forget what you did. But the word tells me I gotta let it go and forgive them. The word tells me not to get revenge. Let God handle it. When I was every week y'all learn something new about me. I used to be a basketball coach. Chandler wasn't our basketball coach at the Boys and Girls Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we won the championship. All you haters out there, you don't know me. At that time, y'all, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I'm serious. I was in the word. I didn't have a clue. Now I know basketball. I didn't know, but I had a good assistant coach. And we would go to practice. He said, you think we need to teach them how to do some layups? I didn't know what a layup was. I said, go ahead and show them. Yeah, he can do some layups. You know, a good leader don't have to know everything. You just need to have folks around you who know it. But I'll never forget, there was this one parent. This kid was on there, and he would start yelling at me. He said, do such and such. I said, Mr. So-and-so. He said, if you're going to teach them, then teach them right. Y'all know, we got those kind of parents who need to be carried away somewhere, okay? Sometimes you want to yell. Sometimes you want to scream. But there's things you just got to let God handle. You can't get on the court all the time. You got to let God handle it. And so listen, let me finish this. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, that means those who live sexually immoral lives. Fornicators are not just folks who have sex outside of marriage. It's talking about all types of sexual sin that now everybody is now posting on Instagram. Everybody posts about their threesomes, okay? But they ain't posting about HIV. I showed a few weeks ago that Columbia, South Carolina is like the third in the nation for sexual transmitted diseases. You better ask somebody. He says, you need to understand, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters. He said, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers. People think the Bible doesn't say anything about these things, but it does. He said, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Y'all know what that is? Come back next week, I'll tell you. It's Easter Sunday. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists. That's people who are always getting over on people, stealing people's money, coming up with gimmicks to get people's money and scheming. Y'all know we have more of that than ever today. Every time your phone rings, somebody trying to extort you. Somebody trying to scheme for me. These things are getting worse and worse. He said, none of them will inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm so glad he didn't stop there. He says, and such were some of you. Everybody say were. Were means past tense. Now watch this. Paul said, such were some of you. Once you get saved, that's not your identity anymore. So people say, well, what? Well, I was born a homosexual. Are you born a drunkard? All that's in there. Are you born a thief? He said, such were some of you. Meaning, even if that's what you are, it doesn't what you have to continue to be. Because once you receive Jesus, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away and all things can become new. You can literally have a whole new life. Even if everybody in your family was doing that, even if that's how everybody in your family thought and lived, you can have a whole new life. And such were some of you, past tense. But watch this. But once you get made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you were washed. You were sanctified. That means set apart. You were justified. God treats you and sees you now just as if you've never sinned. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. Nothing and nobody can give you a new life but Jesus. Some of you, and thank God for these programs. They got 12-step programs. They got Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. They even got some you don't know. I found this out because I was standing at a bus stop when I was a teenager on my way to school. I'm standing there crying because of what was going on in my house. And I remember this woman talking to me. She said, what's wrong? I said, and I really broke down. I said, my mother's an alcoholic and these things are going on. And this woman said to me, have you heard of Al-Anon? I was about 15 years old, 16. We just moved out to Pratt. Al-Anon. I said, and she said, Al-Anon is a group to support family members of alcoholics. So they got all these things. But these programs, Gamblers Anonymous, but the first thing they try to tell you, identify with your temptation. Are you listening to me? So they would tell you, you need to acknowledge, I am an alcoholic. You may not have a drink in 20 years, but they say in order for you to walk out your freedom, you have to always identify with your sin, with your habit. I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. I am a gambler. That's not Christianity. Christianity says, and such were some of you, but now you're washed. Now you're justified. Now you're set free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Look at somebody say, for real, for real, for real, for real. When Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Not just in mind, in life. Everyone standing today.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.